Richard Pryor made us laugh while speaking about race and class in ways that performers had never talked about it. He said that he started his comedy career by imitating Bill Cosby, but he knew his days of pretending to be as slick and colorless as Cosby were numbered. There was a world of junkies and winos, pool hustlers and prostitutes, friends and family screaming inside his head trying to be heard. As he developed those voices and his own, as well as his thoughts about being black in America, he became one of the most influential performers in the history of comedy. His performing was virtually ended by multiple sclerosis, which was diagnosed in 1986. It was a heart attack that took his life on Saturday. He was 65. Here's an excerpt of one of his most famous performances, live on Sunset Strip, recorded in 1981. He's talking about a time early in his career when he worked at a club run by the mafia.
I worked with a lady named Satin Down, black. Now, I think Duke Ellington had written a tune about her. She was beautiful, man. She was 60 then. No, but she was fine. Lean on and that shit on her, man. She was crying. I said, "What's the matter?" She said, "They're not gonna pay us." I said, "Not gonna pay who?" Motherfucker pay me. And I had a blank pistol. Now dig how ignorant I was. I was 19, man. I didn't know I had a blank cap pistol. I bust in the office. I'm like, "You motherfucker love the money." Doing my best black you know. Because that usually scared the average white mother, you know. You know how it is when you do something, you can feel there's something wrong, and you got the gun, and you're saying there's something wrong. There's some look missing in this mother's face. You know, and I'm sure that them men are still there today. Laughing. Because he started laughing. He just looked at me. Ah, this is kid. Hey, come here, come here. Hey, wait a minute, come here. Hey, Tony. Wait a minute, come here. Do it again, Rich. Put the gun up. Again. Hey, Tony. Stick up. Ah, come here, you kid. Come here. Like, ah, get a pair of goosies on him. Ah, you stick up. Ah, come here. You Tony, was you scared? Ah! Come here, come here. You want something to eat?
I spoke with Richard Pryor in 1995 after the symptoms of MS had changed his life. He told me that a physical therapist named Marie worked with him at home. I asked what his therapy was like.
Oh, man. Some days, it's like, I don't feel good, you know? And so I don't want to do it. But she says, well, you have to do it. So 3 times a week, that's what I'm put up with.
Was it like moving arms and legs and things like that?
Man, there was a time I couldn't move any of them. I was in bed like that for a while. I couldn't move.
What did you do to pass the time while you were in bed and couldn't move?
Good question. I'm trying to think, what did I do? Oh, I remember I smoked some bass. No, I did.
Did you really? Or you?
No, I'm serious. And my ex-wife, Flynn, came to visit me, and she walked through my stuff, and she found it, and she said, "What is this?" I had a rock, you know. She said, "What's this?" And I didn't tell her, because I was scared. She said, "Is this dope?" I said, "Nah." I said, "Just looks like it, but that's not really." And she threw it out.
So, have you stopped?
Yes.
Was there a turning point that got you to stop?
Yes. It's called being broke.
Now, let me ask you an odd question. I mean, about freebasing. It's bad for your health, right? But, I mean, your health isn't good anyway. So would it being bad for your health not be likely to inspire you to stop? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. you're making sense, is what you're saying. And if I was that type of person that made sense, I wouldn't be where I am. Because I never made no sense. You know, it was like, life to me was like, not supposed to make sense. Because, hey, I don't care how you slice it, you ain't getting out alive. So enjoy as much as you can.
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, some of the things you did were really self-destructive. The free bracing, the setting yourself on fire.
That was a definitely
self-destructive. Yeah. So, but you know, and it's the kind of behavior that you're warned is going, you know, to really kill you, and you survived all of that, and now you have a disease, MS, that has absolutely nothing, as far as I know, to deal with, you know, quote, bad behavior. Do you know what I'm saying? So it just seems like such an irony that all the things people warned you would really hurt you.
It was the MS.
Yeah, it had nothing to do with you getting MS.
No. It's just like God said, oh, really? Okay, here. Boom. So try that on.
Well, do you think it's God punishing you for things you've done? Is that what you're saying?
No. Uh-huh. God don't work like that.
Yeah, so I mean, you could have lived this absolutely exemplary life and still gotten MS.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a blessing, though.
Getting MS?
Yeah.
How so?
Because it pushes me forward. I'm going through the therapy, and I'm understanding some things about life I never understood.
Anything you'd care to talk about, or is that too personal to discuss?
There's nothing so personal as when you can't walk the way you want to, and then you have to depend on others to help you. And I go, oh, my God. And that's what it is. It's depending on people. And you have to learn to trust them, which is very hard for me. Very hard. But here I am.
Are the people who are taking care of you, are they professionals, family, both?
They're professionals. The lady that comes 3 times a week, Marie, mm-hmm. She's a definite professional. But she's a very nice lady. I call her the little Nazi.
She works you hard, huh?
Oh, yes.
You know, I think it's when you're the kind of person who doesn't like to be helped by other people.
Yeah.
It's nice to have professionals.
Yes.
It's different, isn't it, than having to rely on, you
yes.
know,
yes.
a friend That's or the, someone in the yeah. family.
Because that makes me sick to have a friend come over and go, ooh, look at him. Ain't not moving so well. You know, I don't need it.
Mm-hmm. A professional, they know how to deal with somebody who has MS. They come in, yeah. they help you, and you pay them. So you don't owe anybody a favor or anything.
There you go. That's true.
You are so important to so many people. I mean, so many people have, like, looked up to you for so long. Do you feel that you have to try to handle your illness now as, like, a role model? Do you know what I mean? Like, when you're a public person like yourself and people are looking at you, do you feel like, yeah, that you need to do it like a role model? Not that you've been a traditional role model to anybody in the past.
It's like...
not that you've taught us to behave in socially accepted ways in the past.
Yeah. Hey, God gave me this, and I'm going to say this truthfully. God gave me just a little bit of it, you know? He said, so slow down for a minute. Take a break. You know, take a break and look at things differently. So I do. Rich is not a bad person. And this disease is just a disease. And I have it. So that's what I deal with.
So what gives you the most pleasure now? What do you enjoy doing the most or enjoy listening to the most?
I like listening to the Gypsy Kings and some Miles Davis, some Marvin Gaye, and sometimes Mozart.
Do you ever listen to your own records or watch your own films?
No, but I have them. I have them.
I know you keep a gun next to your bed.
Yeah.
What for?
Because the boogeyman might come in some night.
Who are you expecting?
The boogeyman. I mean, come on. There's such terrible things going on in the world. People are crazy. You know, that place in, where was it? In Oklahoma. That's crazy. That's different than anything I ever knew about America. It's like not America, you know? They're serious about whatever craziness it is. And I don't want to be caught in no trap and not be able to get off one shot.
I mean, excuse me for asking this, but would you be able to even use the gun if you had cause to?
No. I think the hard thing I do is having to cock it. Because it's a 9mm, and the bolt is real hard for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll say, wait a minute, please. Just a minute.
Right, help me out here.
I'll be with you in a minute. Yeah.
So, but really, what's the point of keeping it then if you can't even use it? Isn't it like more dangerous to you to have it there?
No.
Mm-hmm.
No danger. I did my best at the suicide. That's over with. God gives you one chance, and you say, well, you didn't make it, so now you got to do this. So I'm here.
I didn't mean to imply you were leaving it there for suicide.
Good.
Oh, gosh. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you.
Richard Pryor recorded in 1995. He died Saturday at the age of 65. Here's another excerpt from his 1981 recording, Live on Sunset Strip. This is about his trip to Africa.
So I went to the motherland. It was so beautiful. Just seeing black people in charge of everything. I'm talking about from the wino to the president. It was black. Blue black. Original black. The kind of black where you go, black. And it's great to walk down the street in Africa because every black person in Africa reminded me of somebody here. They did, man. I was like, that motherfucker look like Joe Frazier. I say, damn. Right? And he'd be the president of the bank and go, that mother Joe Frazier. If Joe Frazier could see this mother, he wouldn't come out of retirement. And you see, rhinos that I knew here, I see them in, they be diplomats and right, you go, Willie the Rhino! Look at this mother! That's what he's supposed to be! And you go into the jungle like in the country, man, I'm telling you, it's something. Like to drive around and see all these animals in person. Because it ain't like at the zoo. They be bullshitters at the zoo. Right? Because you get into the jungle for real, it's the real deal. You look at a rabbit and some tell you, don't with that rabbit. Because a rabbit have a different attitude, like they know you don't belong there. Right? Is it?
Roll the window up, dear.
Well, it's just a rabbit.
You roll him up. One more. Up. I ain't never seen no rabbit look at me like that.
Right? Because we go to the zoo, we all go to the zoo with the lions, right? Because you see the lion can't get out, and is it? Hey, lion. Hey, mother. But when you see a pride of lions, about 20 of them hanging out, they have a different attitude, like the lion in the bush. I'm like,
yeah, get your ass out the car. Bring the camera, too. Because we're going to eat all that shit.
Richard Pryor recorded in 1981.